This morning I wanted to lean into, and if you got your worship notes, you want to get them out because there's a couple things I really want you to hang on to. And partly it comes from, you know, I over the years have spent a lot of time with students. And the thing that even last week I spoke to a young man who, I would say his life is a train wreck. And he's currently sitting in Erie County as a detention facility. And really in some regards, he's bought a lie about himself that I don't know how to get him out of. And it's one of those things where I think many of us buy lies about who we are. And so this morning's message is really this idea. I want us to unpack a little bit about how we think about our lives determines the direction that our lives go in. If we think we have nothing, we will have nothing. And I'm not talking about prosperity stuff necessarily, and not just positive, you know, the power of positive thinking. But I want us to see as God's people, and particularly I'm so glad we've got some students here this morning to help them sort of lean into understanding, because there's a lot that comes against us as we're growing up. I sat Friday in a three-hour conversation with the Paul Lintern led at his outpost there, St. Luke's Point of Grace, with there was 18 pastors. Mr. Garvick was there from the high school. There was a couple people there from the prosecutor's office, a couple other agencies, and we really, our focus that day was to say, how do we as the Church of Mansfield, reach out, and even we had some friends of mine from Ashland there, John Hall, who's a pastor at Grace Brethren, and John Bouquet, who's a pastor of Bethel Baptist up north of Ashland, just talking about how do we deal with these issues that are in our communities. And yet, you know, everything we face, and I feel this way, and even as I sat there in this conversation with these good men and women, and I was so grateful because half of the room was people that didn't look like us. In other words, there was some good representation from our friends in the black community in Mansfield. And it was a little awkward as we talked about those things of knowing that there are silos, that, you know, Sunday morning is the most divided hour yet. In our nation, that the church doesn't, many churches don't look like our neighborhoods. And so how do we be intentional as God's people? And yet I think it comes really down to this idea, and that's part of the conversation, realizing that even the issue of heroin addiction that we were particularly talking about and trying to find out the services that are available, that at the end of the day, even like this young man I mentioned who's in DH, that there's lies that he's bought about himself and his life circumstances. He's never known his dad. His mother has had three boyfriends over his tenure, and he, at a point in his life when he's trying to figure out what it means to be a man, can't figure it out because the facility that should be around him, a healthy community, isn't. And so he's got to figure it out on his own. And so we want to pray for him and the others that are there this morning, I'm sure. But so just even what I feel the weight each week of just leading a spiritual community. And yet I want to suggest that these last, we're in the month of April now, you know, these last 4 months as I've leaned into it, sort of my own new understanding for how I want to serve this community. I've been much more intentional. And yet, it's in that intentionality, it's challenging. It's challenging physically because it demands more out of me in terms of my time. I mean, last week there was several nights where I didn't get home until 9 o'clock at night after starting early in the morning, and that's okay. It's challenging emotionally because I know there are people like this young man and others in our community. I see it when I go into the high school, or even when we sat some of us this last week at the immersion school. Just in practical ways that yet there's a challenge there, and yet I feel like God has got me in a place right now that I think it's the best season I've ever experienced. And yet it's complicated. And yet I think what's changed is nothing about what I do. What has changed is about how I think about myself and how I think about the impact I can make. And so here's where I want to begin, and it's the idea I'm going to walk around a couple times this morning, is that your thoughts matter more than you can imagine. How you think matters more than anything else that you do. And so the big idea, again, I want to unpack that this morning, is simply this, that our lives move in the direction of our strongest thoughts. That our lives move in the direction of our strongest thoughts. That if we have positive thoughts, especially as Christ followers, if those thoughts are full of faith, if we're on a journey of becoming more like Christ, then that's good. But I'm going to suggest that given our culture, and all you have to do is pick up the newspaper this morning or turn on or hop on Facebook and see the drama that's probably being, or Snapchat that's being unpacked there, there's a lot of negative thoughts. And if I have negative thoughts, I'm not going to live my life in victory. In fact, I'm going to live my life far from God. And so I want us to look at this particular scripture from Paul as he's writing to this church in Rome. And he says this: those who are dominated by the sinful nature think about sinful things. Those of us out here in the real world who are dominated by sinful nature think about sinful things. And then he puts a comma and begins. But those who are what? Read with me. Controlled by the Holy Spirit think about things that please the Spirit. So he goes on to say, so letting your sinful nature control your mind leads to death, but letting the Spirit control your mind leads to life and peace. So again, your life moves in the direction of your strongest thought. In other words, and I've talked about this before, but I really have had this conversation ad nauseum, if you will, with students, that how we talk to ourselves matters. In fact, all of us talk to ourselves. In fact, even last night, Melinda was talking to herself in the closet, and I thought she was talking to me, and I didn't want to miss what she was saying, and she finally said, no, I'm talking to myself. And we do that. I mean, I do it to myself. Yet it's in those moments, what are we saying to ourselves? So many times I've heard from students particularly, what I hear is, I don't measure up. I don't have what it takes. I allow my mind to be dominated by things that are negative and critical. And that's part of the problem with our social media today, that so many of us are wired and we're on all the time. And it's interesting that this week Facebook, for those of you that are on Facebook, rolled out a whole new understanding, so they're now able to do stories, which actually came from Snapchat. And so even yesterday on April Fool's Day, Snapchat, which is another app that students and young people use. In fact, most young people have bailed from Facebook and they're actually using Twitter and Snapchat because of just the way it works. But there's so much drama that's created because of that app. But a lot of times it's this negative stuff. And so the tension of what the scriptures points out to us is this, is that if we allow our minds to be dominated by it, sinful stuff, then that's where we're going to go. But the writer Paul says, if we allow our mind to be controlled by the Spirit of God, it actually will bring about good things. So I want you to understand, and I think you will agree with me, is that we have two different sets of internal thoughts. We have some that are positive and some that are negative. Let me give you an example. I mean, if my internal thought is that my God is with me, my life matters, that God has placed a great calling on my life, that my life is full of faith, that I actually have a sense of mind and spirit that's at peace, that actually can invigorate me to face the day. It gives me actually divine energy. I wake up in the morning going, it's today, and I can actually lean into it. I can be excited about what today offers. But if I'm the other kind, if I'm the other side of this, that's the other alternative is where if I wake up tired because I didn't unplug myself from social media and had my phone on all night and it kept waking me up. Or we even lean into, if you're an adult and you've got kids in the house, even to that point of, why did I have these kids? There's too much to do, that there's not enough time in the day, that you're tired of the job that you have, maybe even tired of the season of life that you find yourself in, that people make you crazy, that life is overwhelming, that you can't get ahead. And I guess my question to you is, which is your life? Is it the first one, where you go forward in positive confidence that God is there with you, calling you into the day? Or is it the other one where you just don't know what to do because the day is just doggone frustrating? So I want to give you a statement, and then I want to ask you a question. I want to go back to the statement I started with, that your life moves in the direction of your strongest thoughts. But then I want to ask you a question out of that, is, are you excited about the direction your thoughts are taking you? And I have to be honest, even over the last 2 years in this position as the pastor, I really wasn't happy with some things because I had made commitments that I really wanted to get through. And so that's why this year I've got a different focus on things. I wanted to change my focus a little bit in a more intentional way. And yet, the reality is that if we allow things to be overwhelming, they will be. And yet, so I wanted to just unpack a couple more verses here just to help us think about. So it really comes down to this, that I need to have a change of thinking. And Paul, again, the writer of Romans, says this, don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way, what does he say? Changing the way you think. So much of life isn't about what happens to you, but how you think about what happens to you. So this young man I mentioned, I understand that life has been complicated for him. He hasn't chosen his economic standing. He hasn't chosen the things that have come at him. And all I could offer him in my conversation was, you really have to think that despite what has happened to you, that you can choose to go in a different direction. This does not define you. There are people around you. There are teachers, myself. There are others that want to invest in you. But there's a risk that you have to take to begin to think about moving in a positive direction. The same is true with stress. Stress isn't about all you have to do. Really, stress is about how you think about all you have to do. You follow me in that? That when we're stressed out, it's not about all that we have to do. That the stressing comes from the fact of how we think about it. So, again, I want us to see that what you think and what you believe matters. And that life moves in the direction of your strongest thoughts. And so if we have unhealthy, ungodly, unproductive thoughts, that will keep you from finding the life that God wants for you. Again, Paul, here talking to the church at Corinth, says this, verse 3 of chapter 10. For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish, what's the word he uses? Strongholds. Now, what's interesting in that, and I want to just stop here for a second, And I've seen this again, as I mentioned, whether it's this young man or others, that there are things that we buy about ourselves that are not true. And that's why Paul wants us to understand those are strongholds we need to break down. And I actually think that those are the same kind of strongholds that even we as a church sometimes see, that we don't have what other churches have. The truth is, we have exactly what God has given us to have. It's just that simple. That may frustrate us because we can't get done what we think we need to get done, but part of it is really thinking about what is it that God wants us to do. And I've seen it so many times, and I've seen it even as it's manifested as over the years I've been in partnership with a friend, and we've done a couple, more than a couple, of men's retreats centered around the work of John Eldridge. This idea, John's book was called Wild at Heart, is called Wild at Heart, it's a bestseller. And John talks about how so many men lean into and understand themselves that's diminished because they didn't have a dad in their life. In fact, in yesterday's Richland Source, there was a story about a conversation that the foundation hosted earlier last week, realizing that there are so many young people, so many children in our community that don't have dads in their lives, and what that means. And that can be a stronghold, and that's just one example. And so as Christ followers, Paul wants us to see here in chapter 10 verse 4, he says, on the contrary, they have divine power. In other words, we have the ability to demolish, not just put aside, but demolish. Demolish. That means like just what they did to the building at 220 Park Avenue downtown. We come in and we just blow it up because we have the power of God. So what we tell ourselves sometimes can be a stronghold. And then Paul goes on to say here in verse 5, we demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take every captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. Go back to that scripture slide. I want us to see this because we take captive. Take captive. What does it mean to take captive? It means we take it. We take it. It's ours. It belongs to us. Every thought to make it obedient to who Jesus is. You see, that's the tension that we find ourselves in. And that's why it's so important that we show up here on Sunday morning and gather as the household of faith to encourage us as we take captive those thoughts. Because, you see, it's the rebellious thought that becomes negative, that becomes critical, that becomes condemning, that becomes hateful, that actually is filled with fear, becomes worried. It's not Christ-honoring. You see, Jesus says we're going to capture it, and that's how we obey Christ, is by doing that. So here's a couple questions. I have it there, and I want you to, this is homework for you later today. You know, what are the negative thoughts that are dominating your thinking today? What is it that's there in your mind right now? That you can't get it done, that you're not good enough. We so many times compare ourselves to other. The idea of if you're a mom and you go to the school event and the kids bring homemade cookies and you bring ones from the store because you don't have enough time or enough ability to do that. it seems like it's always a battle, that it's inconsistent, that we're undisciplined, that we just can't ever get ahead, that it's just God will never give us a break. But see, I think it's about us understanding that we live in God's economy. So whatever our needs are, whether it's the church's needs or it's my individual needs, comes from the fact that we trust that God is in the midst of that. We wish sometimes he would show up quicker because it's like, really, I'm waiting for you to show up, and yet we struggle with that. And even as we think about our relationships with others, we're not great with people, that we're an average student, and yet it seems like it's never enough. And so there's that one question, and I've given you a couple of lines there to think about. You know, what are the thoughts that are dominating your thinking that you need to do away with? And then I want to sort of be practical about it this morning. I mean, this idea of what spiritual truth will demolish your strongholds. In other words, we have this thing called the Word of God. It's the Scriptures. For most of us now, it's on our phone. You know, that we can actually get to it any day, any time, any place. You can literally bring up the Word of God to encourage you. Because you see, if we really believe that God is who he says he is, we need to understand that he desires the best for us. You know, so what spiritual truth will demolish your strongholds? That I have everything I need to do, everything God calls me to do in him. Again, some thoughts here. That Christ in me is more than enough, Paul says. That worry is not my master. My faith is in God and God alone. That I'm not easily offended. That I can actually show unconditional and unstoppable and unquenchable love. That this is what God calls us to. This is true for us as a church, is that we ought not worry about things. It's amazing how in those moments when we think it's all about ready to hit the wall, God shows up, and it's just amazing. So I want to give you a couple ideas here, and I've actually laid them out here so you can see. So if you're somebody who worries all the time, here's some truth that I want you to see. Because of who Jesus is, you are not to be anxious about anything. The Scriptures tell us that we should cast my cares on God because he cares for me. Last week we talked about being on the edge and really trusting God, being at a place where God has to show up. You'll remember that was in the context of the disciples in the upper room hearing from Jesus that it's all going to come unglued here in a moment. It's going to get really messy. In fact, I'm going to die. And these guys don't know what to do with that. And yet it's amazing that right after Jesus tells them that, or after Jesus is very clear to them about that, he says this to them, "Peace I give to you. Don't sweat it," is basically what he's saying. That's my interpretation. And so we go on here that if we're worried all the time, we just need to have the peace of God dwelling in your heart and ruling your mind. Because again, how you think determines the direction your life goes. Okay, for some of you, and I've had this conversation, both with students and adults, you don't know what God's will is. Well, here's a statement, very clear. If you don't know what God's will is, first of all, be very clear. Your life belongs to God. And that if you lean into this truthfully, the daily, if you will seek him, and the daily he will direct your steps, and that you will know his voice, and he leads you to a perfect will. He will lead you in the direction you need to go. Or if you're somebody who lacks confidence, that to hear this is a truth from Scripture, that your confidence is in Christ and Christ alone, because his Spirit lives within you. In fact, Christ says to you, you can do everything he calls you to do. Even when it doesn't look like it's coming together, he will show up. Because like the sign that's in my office that was given to me after I first arrived here, is it's not about the destination, it's about the journey. And how are we being faithful in what God is sharing with us? Or if you've got this struggle like many of us do, it's inconsistent in time with God. In other words, we just can't figure out how to put God as a priority in our life. And so you begin with these kinds of words. I love the living and dwelling presence of my good God. So even the song that the choir just led us through and shared with us, this idea that there is a victory that we have because of what Christ has done for us. You see, praying is as important to me as breathing. And it's in this idea that is these statements. These are things that as you think about how are you going to move through it, this is the thing that you need to tell yourself every morning. And so it was shared this past week that some of us who had walked through the Chase the Lion series, that I gave all of you a manifesto, and I know a couple of you have actually put it up on the mirror at home. and you're leaning into that understanding of what God's calling you to be every day. Now, it's silly at first to do this kinds of stuff, but if you keep doing it and fill your head with these kinds of things, it actually will become reality. So it's interesting, and we'll see if our exchange student agrees with this. So when our daughter Sarah went to France for a year through the Rotary Exchange Program, one of the things that she went there for was to learn how to speak in French. And what's interesting is that they told her that when she started dreaming and that she would be able to think in French. In other words, when she started in her mind, and it takes about 5 months for someone from another culture as they come to a new culture, that at first it's confusing and they try to speak it conversationally, this language they're trying to embrace. But there is a point, and there's this aha moment, and Sarah could confirm it, where there was a moment, it was about 4.5 months in, where all of a sudden her dreams were in fluent French. And then all of a sudden that which she didn't understand became very clear, and she was able to live it out. Now, see, I want to suggest that in that, nothing really changed other than how she thought about it. And so that's why these words that we're thinking through today, and actually you've got some more homework that I want you to think about through this afternoon as you go home. I mean, when you renew your mind, you change the way you think, and then you end up with a mind that's controlled by the Holy Spirit. Now, here's one thing I want to, this is sort of a commercial. So there's an opportunity we're having here on April 27th. There's a picture for the pilgrimage. Every one of you ought to be there. Just that simple. Even if you're not over 60. It's a Thursday, and I realize if you're a student, that's a little complicated. But the truth is that the season of life that God calls us into, we need to sometimes take a moment and unpack it. And even yesterday, I had a conversation on Facebook with somebody that saw the ad for our Facebook. But basically, the Facebook event for this on the 27th. We've invited Bob Meyer, who's a Presbyterian pastor, co-pastor in our presbytery over in Wayne County, to come and facilitate a conversation that some of the people have actually already gone through. But this idea of really saying, okay, this journey that I find myself in today, and I hate to admit this, and if my mom's listening, I'm in trouble because I'm going to be 60 in July. I'm not supposed to tell you how old I am going to be. But as I think about that, and now I'm sort of frustrated because when I do the surveys like I did the other day on a website, it's like there's only one box left. You follow me? You know, it's like, wait a minute. But there's this idea that thinking about the season I find myself in, we together need to find ourselves in that. And so this is going to be an amazing opportunity to unpack what that looks like. It was funny that one person was asking, is this really going to be a walk? Because it's a pilgrimage. She thought maybe we were going to go on a journey. It's like, no, we're going to sit here in this building. But I'm looking forward to the conversation that it may bring about. Because you see, and what I'm going to do is share with you some of the things that I've been operating from, what I have been thinking through literally every morning over these last 4 months, so that I get my mind set around what God wants to do with me. And it's my hope that this pilgrimage retreat will actually be an opportunity for you to come, and there's a modest cost of $10, which is basically to cover the cost of lunch, but would encourage you to and actually not only bring yourself, but this is going to be an amazing opportunity to bring people that you're doing life with right now. If you're in a bridge club, if you're at the YMCA, wherever you might find yourself, this is going to be an amazing time to have a conversation about what does it really look like as we journey together in the season of life that we find ourselves. Now, I want to share with you some thoughts then from my faith statements, and I want you to copy mine, but this is how I'm thinking about what I would love you to do, for you to do, and there's no test, so I'm not going to check up on you, but this is sort of on your honor, on just trusting you that you'll do some time this afternoon to think about this. So for me, the idea of putting God first, prioritizing the important over the urgent. I want to do that every day. And again, this is a list that I look at in the morning. The second thing is I want to love Melinda in a way that brings out the best that she is. That I want to be a person who is creative and accurate in all that I communicate, particularly as I think about what I do each week and bringing the message. So that's why if you're not in church on Sunday morning to hear the message of the day, it's really important, because if you want to know where I think God is calling us to be as a church, it's going to come out of this message time. And, you know, we've got a podcast, and Phil's very good about getting it up on YouTube and on Facebook so that you can get caught up in it. But it's that idea that I want to try to communicate, because As I'm having conversations, as I sat Friday at this conversation in downtown Mansfield, it's clear that the culture that we're leaning into and that we're part of is so radically different. And I have to tell you that, you know, leading the church, this church, as I talked even with other pastors, they try to lead their church, it's not easy. And it's sometimes it can be painful. Yet at the same time, if I believe that Jesus, again, one of my statements is if Jesus is first in my life, then I can very clearly say that I exist to serve and glorify him. So everything I'm doing is about trying to connect others to his greater story. And you see, if I love my wife, if I love Melinda, it's very clear I want to lay down my life to serve her in all things. So actually here in the last few months, you can ask her, I've learned how to wash the sheets. Not that I didn't know how to do this, but actually I know how to wash the sheets on the bed and know when the sheets on the bed ought to be changed. As a way to gift her on, so there's one less thing that she has to do as she comes home from work. Just a way to serve her. You see, I also, one of my active statements is that I love people and I believe the best about others. I really believe that people have much more to offer than they offer, but I also believe it's because of this thought process that I think we limit ourselves in being able to do all that God desires for us. And then I also want to be disciplined, that Christ in me is stronger than the wrong desires in me. And that also the words that I want to live by is that I want to grow closer to Jesus every day because of who Jesus is. That I want my family to grow closer to him. That I want my body to grow stronger for him. So that's why I'm going to put on my spandex later this afternoon and go riding. It's because I want to be in that. That I want my faith to be deeper. And then I also need to be reminded, and this is in front of me on a daily basis, that I am anointed, that I am empowered. I am empowered, that I am equipped, and I'm called to reach people that are far from God. And now, that may not be true for you, but I want to suggest that you need to be in the midst of that. And so that's why we spent the first months of this year talking about what does it look like to be a good neighbor? How do we love those that are different than us? And so my words and my thoughts and my imaginations are under the power of Christ. I take all thoughts captive and make them obedient to him. That literally every morning I want to wake up with purpose, direction, and meaning every day of my life. And then even this, I see this when I ride my bike, that pain is my friend because I actually can grow through that. Later this summer, I hope to go to Colorado and spend a few days riding bikes for human trafficking awareness. That will be painful. We're going to climb about 13,000 feet over 9 days, but it would be my intent to do that because my suffering is worth it for what I can mean by raising money to support those that are caught in human trafficking. And see, and it's in those things that we need to declare it, and 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 we need to say it again and again and again and again until we believe it, to break out those strongholds. You know, that I'm the righteousness of God in Christ, that we have this, as we in the adult hour this morning were reminded of the great sacrifice that Jesus did for us. And as we lean into these next couple weeks as we journey towards Easter Sunday, that there's a weight that God places upon each of us. And that's why we've got to do this. And it's in these moments of how we think about ourselves. And so as you think about those words that you need to live by, for some, it may be, I just need to get myself out of bed. That may be the first step. And so it's in that I want us to sort of walk this morning. And to be reminded that Jesus is the author of truth. And when you know the truth will set you free. And that's why these are words to live by. That we don't buy the lie, that we buy what God desires for us. And so with that, let me pray.